Inconceivable!
Will you please act like you have more than a two-word vocabulary?
Is there air? You don't know!
Hey, don't touch that dial. You found Secular Yakking.
I'm Robert.
And I'm Amy.
After years...
many years of yakking at each other.
We're here to yak at you.
So sit back and enjoy the yakking.
Hey, welcome back, yakkers. Hope you had a wonderful weekend.
I'm here. Honest, I am.
Okay. Yeah. Did you enjoy that new intro?
Yes, actually, I do like it. I'm interested to see what other people think about it.
That would be great. If you like to come in on an intro, you can call us at 704-802-YAK.
Not that you have to.
And sadly, our voice lines are down this week and going to be down for quite some time. However, you can still leave us a voicemail.
Right. We always check voicemail.
Yes.
And emails.
Not that we ever get any.
No. Which, you know, c'est la vie. It's all good.
So, we have an update from Jeff Stilwell. As you remember, we've been following his trip across the western United States from Stevens Pass to Yellowstone.
Stevens Pass, Washington.
Stevens Pass, Washington.
Just in case.
To Old Faithful. Well, on Thursday, he completed his trip.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Due to lack of cell service and other technical difficulties, we don't have audio yet.
Right.
But as soon as we get it, we'll put it up and let you guys hear what happened.
Yeah. He picked the hottest year to do it. We've been setting records all over the place, but he did it, and that's awesome.
Yeah. I was reading some of his post about it. He wore a hole through his new boots.
No kidding.
Yeah, he went to get some water that he was going to purify, and he discovered that his boots had a hole in it because he guess foot got wet.
Oh, gosh, that's got to be rough on your feet.
Yeah, he went through a sleeping bag.
How do you go through?
He went through a cell phone.
Wow.
So, yeah, it's pretty rough.
Yeah, definitely.
But hopefully, we get that audio up soon and see how it went. But on to the news. In Boone County, Missouri, the Boone County Commission is considering the relocation of the Desert Storm Memorial from the Boone County Courthouse to the Columbia Cemetery Association. I think we talked about this a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I think so.
At the bottom of the memorial is a Christian fish symbol, which is covered by the commissioners. Was covered by the commissioners with the board, right?
Right, yeah, because they, you know.
They got a letter from Americans United, right?
Right, saying that, you know, you can't do that.
Right. But in a 45-page draft order, the AU stated that it reasonably be construed that citizens who view the memorial as being a governmental endorsement of the Christian faith as opposed to other religious faiths or as opposed to those who have no faith at all.
Right.
So by having this symbol on the memorial, they are in violation of religious neutrality that was imposed by the federal courts. So the First Amendment, basically.
Right, exactly.
So by having... The report goes on to say there's no historical basis for the associating this Christian symbol with Operation Desert Storm or the Gulf War.
Right. And it also had said that the language of the memorial, which appears above the name of the two men who lost their lives when coupled with the... How do you pronounce that word anyways?
Ichthys.
Ichthys. That's what I was going to say, but I want to make sure that was right. Seems to clearly indicate or strongly imply that the men and women who served but whose lives were not lost were all somehow Christian. And to me personally, that's exactly what that's saying.
Right.
You know?
So
it's not all inclusive.
Right. So what you're telling me is they're considering to move it to private property, right?
Yes. It indicated... up at the beginning where they were wanting to stick it. I guess from my personal opinion, though, I don't think it needs to be, the whole memorial itself needs to be moved, but it needs to be taken care of with the Christian symbol, though.
Well, that's why they covered
it. That shouldn't be there. Right, exactly, which, you know, I mean, if they decide to move it, then, you know, that's fine. But I don't have a problem with the memorial itself being there. But if you look at the picture of this memorial, it's almost like it's an added plaque placed on the front bottom of this memorial. It's like an additive, it looks like.
Yeah, it doesn't
to me.
Seem to fit with the rest of it as as well.
And literally, when you look at the memorial, it literally is an extra little small plaque that shows the symbol, and it says something like the year and beloved or something right. like that. I'm not sure. I forget what it was, but and it's literally on the face of the memorial at the bottom. So it literally is an additive,
right?
So, but I actually went in and I read all the comments that people, you know, of course, always have to put on there and blog about and everything. And I want to say that I absolutely can't believe all the crap that the Christians had to say about it. But I thought about it, that would actually be a lie, because it actually doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, when I think about it, I mean, they even had, you know, things to say like, and I quote, "You are aware there is no law that separates church from state." Or someone else had said, "Why accept one legal opinion? We know there are other attorney groups who believe otherwise." I'm thinking, are you kidding me?
Well, welcome to the internet.
Yeah, I know. You do way more than I do. But which, you know, is why it doesn't surprise me, but yet it still shocks me, but it doesn't. I don't know how to describe that.
I get 6 of those comments a day.
I don't doubt that.
Of each one of those.
I mean, come on. Seriously? First of all, they're saying, you know, we don't need this attorney's opinion. Let's go with another attorney because, you know, law is an opinion. It's not a fact or anything.
Right. Well, technically, law is an opinion.
No, I don't think so.
It is. Law is an opinion based upon the cultural narratives.
Well, and the ignorance to say that there is no separation of church and state. Hello? Are you kidding me?
Well,
I can't even begin to tell you how many times I hear that argument.
I know.
They obviously don't read.
No. And then when you provide them with the evidence, they say, no, that's not right.
Right. You know, no.
Yeah, shut. I'm going to close my ears and go, la, 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 la.
Exactly. That's exactly what
or
they do.
They're going to troll you with 15 In God We Trust posts to your Facebook page.
Right. Exactly.
Well, the commission will do a first read of the proposed order next month. So we'll have to check back and see what they decide to do with this memorial.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'd like to see what they decide, either move it, take that part off, or whatever. It's interesting.
We'll make some notes and we'll follow up on it on the next. Do you know when their council meeting is? Probably on a Tuesday, because they're always on Tuesdays.
I was going to say, that's your thing. You know how to do all that.
All right, I'll find
out. Look it all up.
So, next is Negro Bill Canyon near Moab, Utah. Make it a new name.
Yes, it might. We've actually seen this. We've been here.
Yeah, we've been there.
Yeah, on our
anniversary. So Utah may well be on the way to renaming the Negro Bill Canyon, named for the black cowboy William Grandstaff, which ran cattle there in the 1870s. Proponents of the change say that the time is right to change this derogatory name. They say historical marks named for white people are not prefaced by race.
In all honesty, I absolutely agree with that. And I mean, I'm sure you'll go on, but I read this article and the man didn't even go by the name Bill. And, you know, besides the Negro part, which, you know, is pointing out his race, you don't ever see that for a white guy either. So why do you need to do it for a black guy? But the fact that his name, he never went by Bill. I mean, give the man his name.
I know. It's no different than naming, you know, something Indian Joe.
Well, right, and my point, to call this guy Bill, his name is William, and you just automatically assume he goes by Bill, is the way I feel about your name, Robert. When people address you as Bob without even deciding, you know, hey, did he want to be called Bob? I can't stand Bob, by the way. Rob,
no
yeah,
offense
fine.
To the Bobs out there.
I just don't like you being called Bob. It drives me nuts. But to assume that you want to be called by a nickname.
Right.
You know, I think it's kind of rude.
Right, I agree.
Yeah, but anyways, that's off point.
Yeah, that's why generally when I'm addressing someone and I only know their full name, I will address them by their proper name until they tell me otherwise.
Right, until they tell you otherwise. It's the same thing in the sign language community. You yourself, when you learn sign language, cannot give your own name. You have to have your name given to you. The way that you motion your name, it has to be given to you.
Right.
It's kind of the same contents, like you would address someone in their full name. You wouldn't assume they have a nickname. You would wait for them to tell you.
Right, right.
Right.
So oddly enough, the local NAACP is against the change. Janetta Williams, president of the Salt Lake chapter, says, "We don't want to lose the history. It is one of the few landmarks in Utah named after a black person."
Okay, I'm sorry. I have real big issues with this.
Okay.
Which is odd because that just, it actually surprised me when I read this.
Right.
You know, that was their response. Because, yes, of course you want a landmark named after a black person. That's fine. That's not the problem. But it's somewhat degrading and it's dishonest in there's several problems with this whole name. Why not give the sign with his real full name?
Well, that's part of it, yeah. But they could also put up a picture
next to it of his face or something,
right?
You know?
And then this is named for a black guy.
But either way, what difference does that? I mean, why do we have to go to the race car? I think that's my biggest thing.
Yeah, why is it? Why is this race centric?
It doesn't matter if he's white or green or black. Who cares?
I mean, I get it that they want it for the historical context.
No,
especially
I understand
in
that.
A place like Utah.
No, yes, that's true too. I get that. I understand that. But at least use his name. And why do you have to stick a degrading, you know, name
right.
into it?
And the councilwoman, Mary McGann, who proposed a change after the 9 black church members were slain in Charleston.
Yeah, that's what brought this up again.
She said, stating it's time to remove all symbols, which on some level justify having a certain race of people distinguished differently from another race of people, which I agree with.
I agree with that. Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on this and see how it goes. Maybe they'll be, they're proposing Grand Staff Canyon, which is his last name.
Yeah. Grand Staff is his last name. And I thought that would be good too. I mean.
I agree.
Yeah, I kind of find it kind of low to, you have to, because he's a black man, you have to stick his race with it.
Right.
I mean, you don't do that with other, like, you know, we have a lot of George Washington signs around here in Washington State, but you don't see Caucasian Washington or, you know, something like that. I mean.
And with that, I think it's time for a break.
I think so.
The Humanists of North Puget Sound is proud to welcome Shelley Siegel to Everett's own Fireville Community Coffee House.
Shelley is a global presence in the atheist movement and a genre-defying singer-songwriter. An atheist album brought her into the spotlight, and now she's coming to Everett, Washington.
Come enjoy her melodic vocals, heartfelt passion, and thought-provoking lyrics on August 17th at the Firewheel Community Coffee House, 2727 Colby Avenue in Everett, Washington at 7 p.m. Go to meetup.com/humanistmps for more info.
What happened to all the background noises that told me I...
Awesome. Shelly's going to be here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, I'm looking real forward to that. She's
and
awesome.
If you can't make it all the way up to Everett, she will be in Tacoma on the 23rd.
Okay.
And the Tri-Cities, I forgot the date.
Yeah, you'll have to put that on the show notes.
Yeah, I'll put that in the notes.
Now, she'll also be in Seattle, correct?
I'm thinking she's going to be in Seattle, yeah. I'll find out.
Okay, yeah, just get all that info.
Those are the ones that I know for sure.
Okay, and put it on the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes, and we'll make a... another announcement next week with the actual dates and locations.
Right, because next week will be the last time to announce.
Right. Now, in our next story, Jerusalem. Why do I have words? It's a serious issues with R's. I don't know. Jerusalem Gay Pride, 6 stabbed by ultra-Orthodox Jew.
Unbelievable.
So Jerusalem's Pride Parade held on July 30th was marred by a knife attack that injured 5 and killed 1. Shira Banky, 16, was one of the 6 people attacked at the event on Thursday. She died Sunday due to the wounds suffered at the hands of what can now be called a murderer.
That's just unbelievable.
The attacker was Yishai Sissel. I think I got that right.
Sure you did.
An ultra-Orthodox Jew who had just been released from prison 3 weeks earlier. Guess what for?
The same damn thing.
The same attack in 2005. And
how long
did
he serve?
He served for 10 years.
Oh.
It was a 12-year sentence, and he got out 2 years early.
Uh-huh. Apparently.
But in the same Pride parade, not the same, but, you know.
The one held in 05.
Right, in 2005. Mm-hmm. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu condemned the attack as a most serious incident.
Well, I could have used better words.
Well, this I got those that quote before Sunday because I got the word late on Sunday that she died.
That's terrible.
There are some photos on the BBC website, which the link is in the show notes, but I'm not going to show them on ours because I don't like them.
Yeah, they're really, really graphic.
Yeah.
It's just something I don't need in my head.
Right. But I wanted to highlight something that makes me ill about this. A young girl lost her life because this guy thought he had the right to impose his religion on others.
Exactly.
His brand of belief is, in my opinion, a mental illness.
Mm-hmm.
That ranks right up there with psychopaths.
Yes.
He shows no remorse because he did this already. He served time for this.
Yeah, the fact that this was exactly what he went to prison for before, and the second he gets out, boom, he does it exactly again.
Right. I mean, it is pure insanity.
Yes.
To have this much faith in your religion.
Not just that, but I mean, it's one thing to have faith, but to not have the mental capacity to know not to behave like
that. Well, that's just the thing. His book tells him this is okay. That he should murder homosexuals.
You know, it's no wonder I don't believe in this crap. It's unreal.
And this is the problem with a following a religion that reveres a man who would willingly kill his son because a voice told him to.
Right, exactly. And it kind of, it's frightening because you get things like this happen where you have someone who's a little mentally unstable, just slightly, and then you have a book that they're supposed to believe in that's telling them that certain things are okay with someone whose mental capacity is not at a normal standard. They're more apt to be people like this,
right,
who do the insane things.
Right. And this is part of why I say, even if you have a book for your moral authority, it's not really a moral authority.
No.
Right? Because of this.
Right. Exactly.
Stuff like this.
It's unreal.
And if you need that book for your moral authority, you're not a moral person.
Exactly my point. Me, it's all about empathy.
Right. It's about how this action is going to affect others.
Exactly.
So.
I'm curious to see what they do with him.
Yeah, I don't think they are very lenient on murder in Israel. I'm not sure of the laws. I'd have to look them up.
Well, and the repeated act.
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, we'll try and keep an eye on it. I'm sure it'll be in the news later.
Mm-hmm.
But for some good news.
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So, building blocks of life found on Comet 67P.
Cool.
So, as many of you know, the Philae. I need some voice lessons. Anybody want to volunteer?
I'm not even going there.
The European Space Agency's Philae lander has discovered complex organic molecules on the surface of 67P.
That's cool.
During the dramatic bounce of the lander after initial touchdown, the instruments kept taking readings. Some of those readings were of atmospheric conditions, which contained water vapor, carbon monoxide, carbon dioxide, and surprisingly, some organic compounds.
Including formaldehyde.
Right, which turns out to be a building block of ribose, which is in DNA.
Exactly. Right. That's cool.
So, yeah, that's not it. That's not all. They also found other amino acids, sugars, and nucleobases.
Your offer.
Yeah, that's not... More organic compounds for your dollar.
Keep going.
Well, comets like 67P are considered to have been formed at the beginning of our solar system,
uh-huh,
which is they have this huge erratic orbit, right?
Right.
But they supposedly have everything that was there at the beginning of the universe that hasn't been changed that much.
Right, yeah.
So this leads us to possibly believe that life could have come out by chance.
Mm-hmm. Well, it also ups the possibility that there is on other planets.
Right.
Hello.
If we have the building blocks of life on a comet,
right,
frozen for who knows how long,
right,
it is very possible that one of these other planets have these exact same.
The numbers alone make it seem to me that it would be almost impossible not to.
Right.
Because, hello, I mean, the numbers are mind-boggling. There's no way this is the only one. Come on.
Yeah,
really?
There's billions and billions of stars.
There's probably many, actually, planets that have life,
right,
in some form.
There's a whole equation for this. And there's,
oh, yeah,
there's supposedly like 10 million possibilities of life, according to this equation.
Uh-huh.
Or more. I don't know.
I forgot, it could be more.
I forgot the name of the equation, but it's huge.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much the awesomeness of that.
No, I think that's great.
I am an old man, and most people hate me, but I don't like them either, so that makes it all even.
I'm never going to get tired of that. I don't know why.
I could just put that on a loop and watch your smile all day.
I know. I don't know why I like that so much.
Well, we got a good one for you today.
Yes.
And this time, we're moving to Tennessee.
Yay, you finally. We're getting out of Florida. It's about time.
Well, for a while, I'm sure we'll be back. And we're going to the Tennessee House to see how things are going on an amendment that allows victims of rape and incest to be excluded from the state's 48-hour abortion waiting period. So, Republican Majority Floor Leader Sheila Butts was...
Butts.
Butts. Sheila Butt said this on the House floor.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. This amendment appears political because we understand that in most instances, this is not verifiable. Let's make sure that these women have the information and understanding to act.
So what she is talking about there is rape and incest. She literally,
and that it's not verifiable? Are
she
you
literally
freaking kidding
said
me?
That rape and incest is not verifiable and therefore should not be excluded from the 48-hour waiting period.
Oh, I have so many things.
Well, go ahead.
Just unreal. I mean, seriously, is she freaking kidding? That's just crap. I'm sorry.
Yeah. So that's just ridiculous that she would say something like that. So the next day, Representative Sherry Jones called her out with a direct quote, calling her comments insulting to say the least.
Yes, totally.
But she had this witty retort. Or Miss Butt. Miss Butt.
Had a butt. Butt.
Yeah. Had a butt in this witty retort.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I rise to say that when we quote our colleagues on this floor, I think we respect each other enough to quote each other properly. And I did make a comment yesterday that there are times when that those things are not. And so let's make sure that we are quoted properly on the floor. I would appreciate that, and I would do that for you. Thank you, Representative.
So there you go. She made a quote when there are times. No, I think I just played a minute and a half ago when she said most.
So that's what she's talking about.
She said, don't misquote me when you misquote me.
Unbelievable. So that's what she's going to use as her defense.
Yeah, you're misquoting me.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Typical. But we're not done here. Not by a long shot.
Why does that not surprise me?
In February, she responded to a letter from the Council for American Islamic Relations that was asking for Republican candidates to reach out to Muslim voters, which makes sense because a lot of Muslims are Republicans. They have very conservative views.
Right. Okay.
Well, on Facebook, on a Facebook post, which was deleted, so we don't have actual picture of this.
Uh-huh.
But all my sources say it was there. She said, it is a time for a council on Christian relations and an NAAWP in this country. So I know your next question.
Yeah, go for it. What does that stand for?
Well, it's an acronym used by white supremacist groups for National Association for the Advancement of White People.
I still find this funny.
Okay, I'm not joking.
It's NAAWP.
Yeah, I'm not joking. I looked it up. They have a Facebook page.
That's ridiculous.
Now, on their Facebook page, they claim they're not racist and they don't hate. And they will delete anybody who promotes racism or hatred. Okay, fine, whatever.
But do they not know their name?
Okay. Well, that doesn't necessarily mean they are a hate group.
No, I didn't say hate group, but it still plays the racist card. I'm sorry.
Their mission is to promote the Caucasian heritage.
Yes, that's okay. White supremacy.
Okay, yeah. But Miss Butt, says that, the good. W stands for Western.
Sure it does, because that sounds much nicer than white people.
And those of us who know code speak for politicians, that means Northern European.
Exactly.
Or Caucasian.
Yes. White.
So, but we all know she's not racist because in an interview in the Tennessean, she said this awesome thing. When I was growing up, I had birthday parties. I had as many black children at my party as white children.
Wow, that's not a racist comment at all.
Definitely not racist. Definitely.
I'm speechless. Truly. Yeah.
Oh, just wait. You're not done.
She's entertaining.
She is. When I was writing this, I couldn't stop laughing. She is also a climate change denier.
Of course she is.
And guess what she uses? She has a defense called the Aquanet defense.
As in the hairspray.
And here's why.
At the risk of drawing this out, which I hate to do, But I do know, as Representative Dunn has mentioned, that I was taught things in science class in high school which have turned out not to be true. I remember so many of us, when we were seniors in high school, we gave up Aquanet hairspray. You remember why we did that? Because it was causing global warming. That aerosol in those cans was causing global warming. Since then, scientists have said that maybe we shouldn't have given up that aerosol can, because that aerosol was actually absorbing the Earth's rays and was keeping us from global warming. So many things that we learned in science class have turned out not to be true. What about eating chocolate? You know, I was told, don't eat chocolate. What do we know about chocolate now? Good dark chocolate is full of what? Antioxidants. Some chocolate is good for you. So many things that we learned in science class. What this bill does is protects a teacher, not mandates what a teacher teaches. It protects a teacher when a child asks a critical thought question about something like global warming or evolution. They have the right to ask that question, and the teacher has the right to not make them feel stupid for asking.
So what that quote is alluding to is a bill going through the Tennessee State House back in 2011 that would allow teachers to basically teach whatever they thought.
Right. So, meaning they could avoid things that they're required to teach.
Right. Or make fun
of. Or bring in things they're not supposed to.
Right. So, it would have allowed for creation.
But I can't stop laughing.
Aquanet defense.
The Aquanet defense. Boy, this woman doesn't get science whatsoever.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I can't believe she actually said that in a courtroom.
And we're still not done with this roast.
Go on.
It appears she is also the author of children's books.
I'm kidding.
Where she encourages little girls to make sure they marry a breadwinner.
Okay. Stay home barefoot and pregnant.
Yeah, and offers wonderful factual information such as, you did not come from goo, as the theory of evolution suggests.
Now we come from the incredible shrinking woman syndrome.
Yes.
We come out of the goo.
What is she, still stuck in the 80s? Aquanet?
Well, that's what I'm thinking. This is all 80s stuff.
It also gives valuable life lessons like this. Posting nude photos online can get you murdered. Girl Scout camp can lead to strip poker. And you might die in a car accident if you skip church for basketball practice.
God, this woman is funny.
Here's my favorite.
The sad part is she's serious.
Yeah, I thought she was a Poe. I really did.
That's what I would have said.
If it weren't for seeing her on the Senate floor, yeah, I would have considered her a Poe and just said...
It's kind of scary that this is how she actually thinks.
So, but here's my favorite from that first book. She warns girls that if they date outside their race, then boys of her own race won't date her.
But she had as many black people at her birthday as she did white people.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good stuff.
But you know what really did it for her? It was her other book. Her other book entitled, Does God Love Michael's Two Daddies?
Oh, jeez.
Where the fathers in the story chose to be gay because one had a bad sexual experience with a woman, the other by a mother who didn't make her son manly enough.
So she's saying he went gay because he had a bad sexual experience with a woman?
Yeah.
That's hysterical.
And
the majority of this planet would be gay.
And of course, Satan.
Oh, you got to throw him in there. Yeah. He has to be there.
But the book goes on to talk about how this family is only like a family.
They're not a real one.
Really a family.
No.
Alluding that the boy in the book, who is adopted, is not a real son, and the fathers are not real fathers.
They're all make-believe.
Well, they don't fit the biblical mold of families. This says a lot about how she feels not only about same-sex partners, but of adopted and foster families.
And race.
Now, if you want to check out these books, I'm going to put the links in the show notes.
Okay, but
please do not buy them.
No, find them somewhere free, but it's got to be funny.
Well,
and scary, actually, too.
What's funny is I was on Amazon researching these books. They've got one paperback for $5.15, and then the next one was $55.
Not a stretch at all. Unreal. This woman's kind of scary. I mean, I laugh, but this is how she really thinks. I mean, that's crazy.
And she's
Probably not alone.
Okay, she's been elected.
Oh, okay, that's totally scary. It's like a horror story.
And I'm pretty sure she's been reelected.
That's the sequel.
Yes. So that's the Potter Award for this week.
She deserves it.
She definitely deserves it.
I can't stop laughing.
Before we leave today, I would like to give a huge shout out to the atheists of Bay County, Florida, and surrounding areas, who went out to a neighboring county to protest the Bonifay Police Department and their new "In God We Trust" stickers.
Yeah, that everyone's getting.
Yeah, Florida's a really hotbed for that right now. There's 10 or 12 counties down there that are working on that.
Yeah, putting "In God We Trust" bumper stickers.
Keep it up, guys. We're behind you all the way, and you guys know you have my support.
Cool.
I also wanted to thank the guys over at Heretic Clerics for featuring us on their show last week.
That was very cool.
Yeah, these are four awesome guys talking about all kinds of cool topics.
Yeah.
We are featured in episode 7, and links to them will be in the show notes.
Yes, thanks, guys. So that's all the yakking we have for you today. Please join us again next week as we resume the assault on your eardrums. If you can't seem to get enough of us, check us out on Twitter or our Facebook page. You can also leave us a message at 704-802-YAK.
That's 704-802-9255. If you like what you hear, drop by our Patreon page and help support the show. Then head on over to Stitcher or iTunes and leave us that oh-so-coveted 5-star review.
Secular Yakking is sponsored by the Humanists of North Puget Sound.
The views expressed are those of the host and not those of HMPS or its board.
All audio for this episode was used under the Creative Commons license.
And remember, the government of the United States of America is not, in any sense, founded on the Christian religion.